some of those things are going to be absolutely difficult to transfer. Some of them will die. But there are some that'll last forever. And it's happening in the Maori world, as Rose is saying. And fortunately for me and others like me, like those people out there, we're in an institution which can shift it from mainstream knowledge base into a cultural or bicultural or Maori base, and we enjoy the opportunity here to do that. Those students that are up there, we teach them the knowledge base of the things you're talking about. Aroha. What does aroha? Does it mean the American form of love? Or does it mean other things? And we're able to analyze it and pull it down. So aroha is a touch. Hey. Mm-hmm. Although the law says it's illegal now, but that's an expression of aroha, you know. Tēnā koe, and the touching. And you continue with that aroha to the whenua and personalize it by aroha to Papa Tuanuku. Aroha ki ngā tamarikia tāne mahuta, and you shift out into the forest and all that grows in there, and the creatures in it. And it all comes off aroha. Aroha ki te flax bush. Because here is the whakapapa of that flax bush.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the role that harakeke plays in our lives. Previously it played a very, very vital role. It provided clothing. It doesn't do that anymore. But it still provides beauty in the environment, shelter for all sorts of creatures, a plaything for our children today. We can still teach them how to weave little square mats and put them on the wall and put their picture in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a photo frame. We can still teach them how to make little play boats out of the korari.
Mm.
And float them down the creek. So it still plays a vital role, slightly changed, but aroha ki te harakeke.
Mm-hmm.
Aroha ki ngā manu. Why? Because they provide that enrichment to our environment. Sit, listen. What's that bird singing? Many of our students have never heard a bird sing.
Oh.
But we have that opportunity here to push the parameters out. So it does still exist. So there are examples all over the place, Makere, of the deeper meaning. Still, there are people still attempting to reach the deeper meaning, the cultural significance, through te reo. Aroha is a huge concept, and it applies in all sorts of ways in the culture. And if we can get that message across, then we're ensuring that our generations who are following us will have some idea of the deeper meaning. Because Rose is quite right. We say aroha and manaaki and karakia and pōhiri are part of our culture, but it stays at that shallow level.
Aye.
In the schools.
Aye.
I doubt whether it happens in homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because te reo Māori, sadly, is only most prevalent in learning places.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, like the schools, like the universities, like the marae. And at the grassroots level, I am a bit worried about that. It happens with my own mōpuna. Mm-hmm. I try with them, mm-hmm. but then they're exposed to English parents. And so it's me competing against their own parents.
Oh.
I come in for 1 hour, the parents have them for 23 in a day. So those things are happening. But doesn't mean to say it's not happening. It is happening, and maybe we can win some of the battles. But Rose is quite right, the deeper meanings. So those are all attempts at recovering. This is only one of them, and I know it best because I was one of the facilitators. Waiata wānanga going on all over the place, on marae, marae based. Whakapapa wānanga. Ōtaki raukawa wānanga, Aotearoa wānanga and awa nui ārangi are providing a combined front in this push. Because we can do it, because we got some control over the content of the curriculum. So I can be free to take my class in the bush and talk and teach and draw and touch and taste there rather than in the classroom. This is a kauri tree. Can draw the leaf. And they draw it from a picture. But because I'm at a wānanga and others like Nia at a wānanga, we can explore and explode boundaries too. We can break boundaries. And those students are sitting up there, I hope, are telling Colleen, these are the things we are being taken through by our tutors.
In the Bachelor of Education program.
In the Bachelor of Education.
Isn't that something?
So I say to them, for example, I've got the caretaker's truck, there it is up here, put all our desks, put all our chairs on the back, tie it down, and I'll drive it over there, you follow me on your cars. That's the beginning of a lesson. So we get way out into that bush area over there and unload, 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 sit around. And we're sitting under a tree and then whoosh. And he said, look, that bird has caught that other bird. Came out of the blue, bang. And we were sitting around in the bush. There's a little open special patch over there and other birds were picking the seeds. Whoosh! So I was able to switch my lesson and talk about the kāre area and talk about Te Ateirangi kāhu. Because this was a kāhu that came out of the blue, captured one of the smaller birds and sat there holding it in his claws. And there we were under that tree there watching it. Will I see that if I was sitting in a classroom over here? Those sorts of things happen. I said, look at that ridge. How many Māori trees can you see growing there? They saw none. There's a pōtuka right in front of them. There's a manuka right in front of them. There's a tīkoka right in front of them. There's a hinahina right in front of them. So you can do these kinds of things because I'm at a wāna. Doubt if I was able to do that if I was a secondary school teacher at Whakatāne High School. Because there's a program. That I had to sit down. The bell rings, they move on. Bell rings, they move on. I can't borrow the caretaker's truck. If I was, say, Whakatāne High School, could I?
Can't.
So it's easier to say, oh, Jeff, can I have your truck for? What for? I want to take my class, but I want the furniture out there. He says, yeah, bring it back this afternoon. Hey, we can do that at places like
this.
Beautiful. And then we see a kāre area hawk capture its prey right in front of us. So I switch the lesson around. Leave the trees for a while.
Tātārangi kāhu.
He kāhu. Kāhu of the door.
Tātārangi kāhu.
What?
Is that part of its name?
Oh,
the kāhu?
Kāhu is the bird. Tātārangi is of the dawn.
Oh, aye.
The hovering bird of the dawn time.
Oh.
So I was able to bring those things in because there's a sparrowhawk sitting there clutching a sparrow in his claws. And straight away we can use that as a teaching time. So the wānangas can do these kinds of things. And Raukawa Aotearoa and Awa Nui Ārangi maybe as a combined front can recover, be part of this recovery program. People like Rose, who holds wānangas in Waikaremoana, and others like her, is part of the recovery process. The question is, of course, will we succeed? This project that me and my family and my hapū and my iwi developed we're succeeding in recovering the ryo, the vocabulary. Two examples I gave to you. Hauhake, unknown word to this group of people, until they all come home to Hauhake, the kumara.
Hmm.
So it's not just lifting the crop.
Hmm.
Eh? It's lifting it, it's drying it, it's cooking some, it's having some for tea, it's catching a fish that goes with the kumara at that time of the year. So some are detailed off to go and catch the kehe, because they are fat at this time, and that's the fish that's used with the new kumara. So hauhake becomes all those things, plus the waiata that goes on at night after a couple of bourbons. Hey. So you waiata. And then you get up early in the morning because you've got some more hauhake to do. So there are disciplines, there are technologies, there are methodologies. What do they call that word? Pedagogy.
Pedagogy. Pedagogy.
Of that work.
Uh-huh.
And then they've got to get on their cars and get back to Auckland before Monday morning. So you have your poroporoake. Maybe on the kumara patch.
Mm.
Uncle, we got to go. Haramai. Karakia, before you go.
Mm.
And all that pedagogy, which a hauhake can now let loose on them. Hauhake, before that was just the word. You look it up in the dictionary to find it. Oh, harvest. That's what hauhake means. But see, under the terms of this project, for example, the deeper meanings come through, if that is your question.
Aye, absolutely.
And then how to dry them, the technologies. Mm. And the rua is already there, all prepared to take the new crop. And a couple of ancient karakia that go with it. And a Māori for the Mara. So I say to them, tēnei kōhatu. That side, nor from the top of our mountain. And here it is, it's in a special place at our edge of our mara. In fact, it's beside the rua.
Ah.
I said, he Māori tēnā. My brother talks about it during the lunch breaks. Or my sisters, who also older than me. Or my uncle. How do my uncle tell the whānau about lunchtime. So during the weekend we try and get all these and put a hangi down to cook some kao to be ready on Sunday afternoon for them. Haramai pichichi, haramai.
You haven't got a Māori dictionary up
there. Aye, honey, honey.
I'm just doing that. I'm going to use the Monty.
Thank you.
Got an English one?
Aye, aye. Aye, honey.
Oh, yeah, not time. Thank you.
You want a thesaurus? Am I making any sense?
Perfect. Beautiful.
Whether we succeed or not. And the treaty hui we had the other day may link us up with tangata taketake, originals, indigenous of the world. My best hope is that that will happen and we become excited because we're part of a movement across the world. We're part of a tidal waves, so to speak. And we become excited because we have a contribution. So they're asking me to be one of their keynote dharani.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So they got a surprise coming. If I see that the marae is not the place to do it, then I'm going to take them to the riverside, maybe, and talk about stones, maybe, because you see those stones up there? You know, you see the story they're telling? When I get a stone like this, what's that stone telling? Okay. And when I get a stone like that, what's that stone telling? Look at the story these two stones are telling. Hey, the geological story.
Yes.
in Maori terms, it's exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
So that one, if they want me to talk about environmental science, it may not happen on the Mulai. Because I know they're living next to a river.
Kia ora.
So there's a basis.
Matua, when I was even younger than I am now, and I would ask my whānau different things, they would say to me, Sissy, go and talk to the stones. And at first I would think, yeah, why don't they just tell me? Eventually I learned to do that.
You can sit by the river and just with those 200 or 300 stones around at your feet, pick up different ones. And they will talk to you.
Aye.
Mehe mea kai te tika tēnei.
Aye.
Said, how did you assume that shape? What happened to you last year, 100 years ago, 10,000 years ago?
Mm.
Please tell me.
Mm.
Hey. So they tell me how they belong to a strata.
Mm.
And how rua moko, mood, and a peace got carried away.
Mm.
Okay, you can assume that kind of role. Why are you shaped like that? Kōrero mai. So this group of teachers, if they're wanting to have a look at Mātauranga Māori knowledge base and see what they can extract out of there to build their lessons on, then it may not happen on their marae, as they're telling me. It's on the marae at Tōrere, and we want to bring these people in. And I know the Tōrere River is just over there.
Right.
So, that kind of mentality, that kind of attitude, and goodness me, our oral literature is full of supporting evidence. Well, rua moko, I'm just mentioning rua moko, the unborn child yet. When he moves in his mother's womb, tectonic plates move, tsunamis occur. Hey, you can shift it to Aceh in Indonesia, places like that. Whakaari, our own active volcano on our horizon.
Mm-hmm.
What is it saying? Chichiroa to hell. It's going that way, it's going straight up, straight as. It's going like this and it's going like that.
Ah.
It's just billowing out of the crater. Some days there's nothing happening, just the island. What is it saying? So you can introduce, I suppose, into the education of the people, the messages of the world around them. And some of them are very, very applicable to today.
Mm.
Tidal waves, rua moko. There's a rua moko haka there to support your teaching.
Mm.
Weha. That. And I find it interesting. I find it exciting. And those students up there are not 15, 16, 17 year olds. They're 30, 40 year olds. So they've been out there, had a look around, and then come back with a desire. And they're easy to teach. And I love teaching them. Well, I love teaching my little 2 and 3 year old mokopunas too. So is that saying anything for you?
Oh.
Some of the things that's happening in my world.
Absolutely.